Browsing the shelves of the Library of Ethers this time on Culture File as we meet whiskey writer, Scotch evangelist and Glaswegian Dave Broom. Broom is behind a new documentary exploring the flows of Scottish whiskey through poetry, prose and song in Scotland. He was in Dublin this week for the launch of The Amber Light, where a rarely heard tag team of Culture File's Luke Clancy, sounds familiar, and Sunday Business Post wine and spirits correspondent Tomás Clancy shared a wee dram with Dave Broom.
My name is Dave Broom. I'm a whiskey writer and I'm in Dublin for the premiere of my film The Amber Light.
How can I ever know you? How can I ever know you?
I came into spirits really, I think, as any kind of whiskey geek comes into spirits, thinking that if I understood the process and understood all the facts and figures and the data, I'd be able to crack the code. And then it was only after a few years and really beginning to talk to blenders and whiskey makers and listening to the way that they talked about it as being artistic as well as scientific, but really the impulse was an artistic impulse that made me kind of look at it in a different way. And I think as soon as you see it as having an artistic value to it and an artistic impulse to it, then you see that it is then part of our kind of culture as well. And it does influence the culture. So the whole point about the film is, you know, the way that whiskey has interacted with Scottish literature and Scottish music over the centuries.
How will I ever tame you until I know it makes you wild? Where is the fire water tonight? Where is the fire water?
Incredible musicians working obliquely within the folk music tradition, like Alistair Roberts. Alistair just came out completely unprompted, just saying that, you know, I was thinking about the creative process of writing a song and kind of the alchemical way, that things come together in terms of writing a song. And it's exactly the same as making a whiskey. You know, at that point, I kind of leapt off the chair and hugged him, you know. And it was really fascinating to see all these people working in what is a different creative sphere, coming up with exactly the same words and same metaphors as the whiskey makers we were talking to when they were talking about how they approach making whiskey.
From that taste we make our mortar, quicken with the fire water.
Where is the fire water?
Then of course we hear the granite.
From the outset, what we wanted was this not to be a film about how whiskey is made. Because as soon as you go down that route, and great films have been made about it, as soon as you go down that route, you have to film about 20 different distilleries to explain what the subtle differences are between them. We wanted to look at it and get it from artists and musicians and writers as well, to get their take on it, their take on the kind of the creative process and their take on what whiskey means to Scotland. So a writer like, I mean, the amazing Alistair Gray, you know, what he says about whiskey, you know, his line is that he likes drinking it because it stupefies him, because, you know, a man of a very active intellect needs something to be able to go to sleep, otherwise his brain won't stop working. But at the same time, he's got very perceptive things to talk about, that kind of terroir thing about how Scotland is this bunch of very small countries kind of jammed together, each with their own personality and language and accent, etc.
Do you think there's a voice in Scotch that is different from whiskey in Ireland, say, I suppose you're over here, or whiskies in the United States or across the world? Is there a very clear Scottish voice ringing through?
I did a book about Japanese whiskey recently, and somewhat glibly said the Japanese make the best Japanese whiskey in the world, and then actually began to think about what I just said. And it's true, you know, because Japanese culture and history impact on the whiskey that they make and the flavours that are generated. And I think the same happens in America. I think the same happens in Ireland. And the reasons for it might be political, it might be economic, or it might be driven by environment. But I think each whiskey-making country has its own individual identity, which comes around flavour. I think the intriguing thing about Scotch is that because it's had this dominant position in world whiskey for about 100 years, that in the last wee while, I think Scotch has kind of forgotten what its roots were. And what has been fascinating for me, looking at how whiskey's evolved in the last maybe decade or so, is that the distillers with real foresight are beginning to go back to their roots and actually beginning to say, right, how does it speak to me? You know, how does it manifest where I'm from and who I am and where it's from? So I think what you're seeing in Scotch is it's beginning to kind of emerge from just being a globalised spirit into something which has a sense of place again.
All the people we've mentioned so far are men. Are there no women in the Scottish whiskey industry?
There are lots of women in the Scotch whiskey industry. Sarah Burgess, who is in the film, she's the whiskey maker at Macallan. In fact, Macallan have now got an all-women whiskey team. There are so many master distillers now all across Scotland who are women as well. So, and part of the story is that how distillation was originally a secret known by women. You know, it was wise women. You know, because it was medicinal initially. So the role of women within distillation was incredibly important, and I think that has now come full circle. So women's role within whiskey now is as important now as it was all these years ago.
Dave Broom there in his film, The Amber Light, can be seen in all good cinemas nationwide from November 22nd.